We gather our prayers together, Lord. Knowing that just as Job did, that you are God, you alone. With the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Turn with me to 3 John, just to look at the ending of it, as it is the 11th through the 15th chapter. I'm not sure what's going on with one of the translations I read. It was just having 14 verses left out, hanging for some reason or other, the last of the clauses, the sentences in it. But it's the 15 verses, 15th verse, 11, 15. Let's hear the word of the Lord first. John writes, "Dear friend," remember it's beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. This is the word of the Lord. You know, that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Just to look at the last first. Greet the friends there by name. I don't know. I hesitate to ask this, but how many of y'all know everyone by name in the church? I'll tell you, that's a challenge to me. For one thing, I'm too stupid to know everyone's name, and I get names all mixed up. Remember, I was in the gym one time, and I might be chastised for telling this story, but I think it's kind of... I was in the sauna, and you know, in the sauna, you don't wear anything. So I'm there in the sauna. This guy comes in, and I know he's actually my son's father-in-law. And I forgot his name because we were there in an out-of-context situation. Neither one of us with clothes on. So I'm like, I know you, but have you ever been in a situation like that? Maybe not in the sauna, but I know you have to have been. That happens to me all the time in the supermarket too. And so this is John telling us, look, now these are, as I mentioned, the general epistles. So they're written to the churches in general, not in specific. This one, though, just to note, was written to Gaius, one Gaius. He says, my beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, there in verse 1. But he's inviting people to greet each other by name. That's how intimate the Christian relationship, at least in its hope, promise should be, can be, that we know each other in a way that there's no other place that we would know a person, people like that. I look back upon my home church and think of the influence that my home church had upon my life. And, you know, there's families who we went camping with, learned how to canoe with. We canoed down the Lehigh River one time when they were releasing water from the Francis Walter Dam up above. Almost killed everybody as before we got to the bottom. Guy who's a dear friend, now deceased, Don Swigert, told me, I want you to get up in the front, Tim. I want you in the bow, and I want you to call out if there are any rocks that are... Now, tell me, the Lehigh River, if there's any rocks... There's rocks all over the Lehigh River, and it's so much tannic acid in it, you can't see one rock from another. And he had this homemade canoe made out of, you know, splints or lads. I'm not sure what to call them. But so I'm supposed to watch out and call out for rocks. We hit this rock dead on, and the canoe split completely apart, and... So I had to get in another canoe and watch poor Don go down the river, half sunk the whole way. That's one of those memories you just never forget. Greet each other by name. That's how close our relationships are to be in the church. And, you know, you're never going to find that if you just come to worship alone, I want to add. Because we can't get those kind of intimate relationships. Just the small groups in the church are where you get those relationships. Our Sunday schools, Bible studies. I forget how many Lenny told me he has. I think he's up to like 14 or so people in his Thursday men's group. That meets. That's where you get to know each other really by name, isn't it? But also, as I was reading this, to return to the beginning, the 11th verse, I was thinking of a country song. I kind of like country music, and anybody ever hear the song that's got the refrain, I Want to Be Like You, Dad? I think, what's the name of that song? It always eludes me, but the refrain says it all. Anybody know it? No, it's not Cats in the Cradle. That's going back too far. Well, maybe it is, but there's another country song that's more recent. Yeah, the Father's Day song. I Want to Be Like You, Dad, is really, there are heroes for most boys, girls. My sister, man, she looks up to my dad as if there could be no wrong done. So, you know, I don't know if it's... where it is in the line of boy or girl thing. But we have people who are heroes in our lives who we want to emulate, who we see as people who are worth imitating. And that's what John is talking about. Do not imitate what is evil, but what's good. Anyone... He's pointing out who does what is good. They know God. They're from God, he goes even so far as to say. But anyone who does what is evil, has not, now listen, this is a curious phrase he uses, has not seen God. Now, John's the same John who wrote the gospel, isn't he? And remember, in the Gospel of John, he writes about Philip, who looked at Jesus in that Last Supper, and Jesus said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And what was Jesus' answer? He said, "Don't you know me? Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Anyone who's seen Jesus has seen the Father. If you have Jesus anchored in your heart, you have the Father anchored in your heart. That's what John's talking about seeing the Father. Remember, he, in the verses 9 through 10, was talking about one Diotrephes who, what does he say about him? He loved to be the first in things. He loved to have all the attention. Diotrephes loved to be the center. He also loved to put down other people. Put down John, he certainly did. And he also not only wanted to put down those who were like John, a threat to him in some way or other, he also, if people came, somebody through the doors, a visitor who should be welcomed, or maybe a visiting missionary who should be welcomed, he was even seeing them as a threat. And so went so far as to tell other people, "Well, don't welcome them." And so, you see, he was a problem in the church. And some of our churches have the same types of Diotrephes who are problems in their churches. And so John generally warning Gaius, but remember, he's writing to us as well, isn't he? Because this is a living word. He's writing to us to beware of imitating that kind of, he calls it an evil infection. But rather, he says, imitate what is good. Reminds it of Paul writing to the Philippians extensively about the same type of imitation. He says in chapter 2, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if there's any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded." That word is directly related to imitation. "By being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing," he says, "out of selfish ambition." That was Diotrephes' whole problem, wasn't it? "Or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourselves." That's why we embrace each other with a holy kiss, the signs of peace, and greet each other by name. Because we value in humility others above ourselves. Not looking, he says, to our own interests, but each other. In your relationship, this is where Paul begins that great hymn about who Jesus is. Who, being in the very nature of God, in our relationships with each other, have this same mindset as Christ, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or taken advantage of. In chapter 3, Paul uses the same root again for imitation, saying, brothers, sisters, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you've seen in us. In other words, not only me, but others who are doing the same. Look to them as your heroes. Look to them as your, I want to be like him, Lord. For many, he continues, many have come, as I've told you, and I'll tell you, even with tears in my eyes, for they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame. With minds set on earthly things. I'll tell you, I saw a picture recently of somebody dressed in drag, and supposedly a preacher calling himself, what was his name? Pentecost. Now there's one who glories in their shame. But rather, he says, our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. And the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter of Philippians, perhaps the loveliest. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such. I hate to say it, but just to interject a moment, think about how our political life today is. Not much admirable or praiseworthy there. But here in the living Word, we have something to think about, to emulate, to imitate. Think about such things. Whatever you learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace, just like John says, will be with you. The imitation of Christ is to imitate good. And to do good, as John says here, is to be of God. Typically, John closes out his letters not by pointing to himself, but here he points to someone else, Demetrius. Demetrius, almost anti-Diotrephes. He's a counter to him for sure. Those 17 Christian aid missionaries held captive in Haiti, I don't know if I mentioned it. I looked it up. You know where they're from? Christian Aid Ministries are a ministry of the Amish, Mennonite, and other Anabaptists together who are working to do good, just as the scripture here says, in the world. Their purpose statement says that they are there to strive to be a trustworthy and efficient channel of God's. Their main purpose is to glorify God and help enlarge His kingdom. For as Corinthians says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. What a better example, I think, to follow. These are the Demetriuses of our day. They say that they're asking $1 million a person for these 17 missionaries held captive. $17 million in total. I wondered how many of y'all saw the people pouring into the streets in Haiti, asking for them to be, begging, more demanding that they be released, because they saw by the quality of their lives that they were different. Should that not be said of us as well? That they know that we are Christians because we're different, because our love is transformative. Or maybe you know the name Matthew McConaughey. Anybody recognize that name? He's an actor. I think he's done advertisements for Lincoln. Isn't it Lincoln? Yeah, I got that wrong in the first service. Associating it with Ford in general. But I think he's like trying to bring back Detroit single-handedly. But he's apparently, according to Heather Riggleman, in a blog post that was just back in May of this year, he stood on the stage of his church. I guess this is one of these churches that has stages, unlike ours, and read the scripture for that day. And she said he read the scripture from the Bible there at church. It wasn't about performing at all for McConaughey. It was about the body of Christ as they were there together. It wasn't about him. It was about him. The church audience, she said, writing, sat in silence as McConaughey read from the Word. He didn't bring any attention to himself, but rather highlighted the message of how each of us is needed in the body. And listen to this. She wrote, "He's never tried to hide his faith in Christ, even though he's one of the bigger names in Hollywood, a place often chastising Christian values. But the actor takes this all in stride knowing that God is the author and perfecter of his faith. I want to be like you. The song goes. Who do we want to be like? Father God, we thank you for the example of such people like here John, Demetrius, Gaius. We thank you for people who in this very church we can look at and say, I want to imitate that person. I see that person walking with Jesus in a closer way. And I want to be like him, like her. So, Father, we pray that you give us the courage, the strength, the desire to follow you. Wherever you lead us, let us follow you. Amen.